and welcome to this second edition of the Parenthood Conversations podcast. And I am so grateful for Sean and Christina, who are with me, who are a great model and have just shared so much wisdom. Guys, it was like drinking from a fire hydrant.
Yes, on Sunday. Thank you. Thanks for having us again. And it was a lot of content lot of on content. Sunday.
Raising kids is like drinking from a fire hydrant, so it's probably a fitting metaphor. There's something coming at you at every moment. Something feels like it's on fire, so there's a reason to have the fire hydrant turned on, and there's a lot to cover. There's so many things. It's why I'm excited. I hope some people will send in some questions, maybe, if you're listening to the podcast and you want to send in some questions for the final parenthood session we're going to do, then feel free to do that. You're going to have the link in the email, because we want to get as specific as we can. But The reality is, when you're talking to a large audience, everybody's going to be at a little bit of a different place. So it really is kind of a survey course in parenthood. But there are things that you can do, baselines that you can create. And that's why things like vision and values shape all the other decisions you make after that. So we're trying to cover as much as we can, but we know there's no way we could get everything done in a depth manner that it requires to be a good parent.
Yeah, and I had a conversation on Sunday with a friend of mine, and she said, I thought this was going to be more practical, and this is A, B, and C. And whereas I understand what she was saying, but at the end of the day, it has to go back on what you and your spouse, or you and your community, what are your core values, and who is your identity first? Otherwise, practicality will go out the door, but you have to be rooted and grounded in God's word.
Yeah, and that's good no matter what stage of parenting we are.
Correct.
So if we have older kids like you guys, or if you have elementary school children like you guys, or smaller kids like me and Taylor, or even maybe a baby on the way or a fresh baby in your home, these are things that you can decide right now.
Absolutely.
And when you set that, then the behaviors, the practicals will come from those values that you set. And I just want to shout out to you guys, because this is a lot of content, and it is a survey, but you are giving us stuff to take with us and go back to in the months and years to come.
Right.
We'll do this again, but in the months to come, so that we can unravel this at our own pace, in our own way, as God leads us. So I want to relieve anybody from the feeling that I felt, which is, let's get to work.
Yeah.
Let's cram and answer all of these questions and figure out all the problems yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful thing is that we don't have to.
Right.
There's grace, and you have now given us things that we can work on to set what we talked about on Sunday, which is the culture of our home.
So true. And even if you're in your home and you're feeling like, man, I have so little time to apply all of this that we're getting, and these kids are growing up, and how do we get this to them as quickly as possible? Step back and realize you've got, you know, what is it, 7,000 days or so with those kids? It feels like, you know, sometimes like that's forever. But the reality is, there's plenty of time, and you're going to mess up along the way.
Absolutely.
Part of what we'll hit this next week is learning how to ask for forgiveness, even of your kids, and being humble as you're learning and you're growing. But the thing about kids is, you mess it up one day, you wake up the next day, and you start over again, and you get another chance with them and another chance, and you get about 7,000 of those chances over the 18 years they're in your home. So don't put too much pressure on yourself. You're learning as you go.
Mm-hmm.
And Christina, your friend that asked, we could give the ABC for child one in her family, but child two is going to need E and F. It's going to need a whole...
Yeah, we thought we were good parents with Taylor because she was so compliant. We're like, people that say this is hard, we don't know what they're talking about. And then we had Cade.
Yeah, same techniques did not work at all.
So you had to punt either way, right?
That's right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that Cade and Taylor are a good example. You know, we talked a little bit this last time about spanking, and Taylor, no need to do that.
Yeah.
You know, we could look at her in a certain way, and she would sense that we were disappointed in her. And she wanted to please, so she would correct her behavior pretty quickly. Cade, on the other hand, and he had no sense of what those looks meant at all. He wasn't worried about us being dissatisfied or pleasing us. He was being a boy, and he was being who God made him to be, but we needed to shape that behavior. And we tried lots of ways of discipline. We tried timeouts, you know, and he had the ability to go in there by himself and entertain himself, and it didn't feel like punishment at all to him. And he'd come out happier than when he went in, and he was like, all right, what's next? And we tried redirecting him plenty of times with plenty of different activities. We tried withholding things from him. So when you get into the discipline area, there's what's called positive reinforcement, where you're saying positive things. This is all learning theory, behavioral theory, and psychology, but you're saying positive things to reinforce behaviors that you want to see continue. And then there's negative reinforcement, where you withdraw things that would be a blessing to a child if they're doing something wrong. Like, hey, you're not going to get ice cream if you continue to act that way at the table, or if you don't finish off the food that we have in front of you. Or so you remove something that's positive in their life. That's called negative reinforcement. And then the third way is punishment. It is actually, you know, the things that are hurtful in small ways to the child so that they recognize what they're doing is wrong.
And it's biblical.
It is biblical. Spanking is one of those things. And with Cade, that was the thing that we had to do, because the immediacy of that, that physical, you know, swat that he got, gave him the feedback he needed to say, hey, what I was doing there was wrong. And in his mind and in his development, that's what he needed to correct his behavior. And so some kids need that. And if you're listening to this and you're concerned, boy, I would just say pray about that. Talk with your spouse about it. Don't just push it off the table as though it shouldn't happen, though, because the Bible does talk about it and it is real. And some kids need that.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions for you guys on this, because this is a hot topic,
it is,
and it can be super sensitive, especially depending on how you grew up.
Right.
And so a lot of times we hear that, and what we see is an angry parent. And so you did a great job on Sunday, both of you, talking about how you do that and how you should never do that in anger or with emotion. So can you tell us a little bit more about that? I think that was...
Yeah, we can actually go back in general. The idea of discipline is talked about many times in the Bible. One of the verses we cited was a proverb, which is where we get a lot of wisdom in the Bible, Proverbs 29:17, where it says, discipline your child and he will give you rest. He will give you delight to your heart. So this idea that, you know, discipline is necessary, right? And discipline in all forms is necessary. All the ones that we mentioned a second ago, spanking being, you know, one option in that list. So I'm backing up to that to say, you don't want to do any kind of discipline in an angry emotional state.
That's good.
So you could say, well, I didn't spank, but boy, I sure yanked their arm and drug them over to the corner to give them a lecture. Well, that's not any... That's just as damaging as spanking in anger. And when a kid senses, and they're going to push your buttons, boy, at least mine do. I don't know, maybe mine are the only ones, but I can get emotionally riled up because of the behavior of my children.
Embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know,
when you're in the supermarket and they're acting in a way, and you're like, you know, especially you, babe, because you're the parenting expert, and your kids are acting up. Yeah. But yeah, you know, you get embarrassed, you can get frustrated with them, you can get angry, upset, disappointed, sad about what they're doing. Any of those emotions can hit you. And it's our job as parents to deal with those emotions first, you know? And you're like, how do I deal with the emotions? My kid's grabbing stuff off the supermarket rack and throwing a tantrum. Well, it's a super quick prayer, probably. It's like, all right, Lord, I'm feeling a lot here. Can you minister to these emotions so that I can minister to this child that I have? And just, you got to find something that will calm you down so that you can then look at that child and discipline them. They need discipline, and discipline them in a way that changes their behavior toward what they need to be doing in that moment. So I didn't mean to take it away from spanking, but I just want to make sure and say emotions in general are dangerous in discipline. I'm feeling embarrassed. I'm okay with that. I got to figure out what that means. And I may have to circle back with that later that night and talk to my spouse, you know, and say, hey, I felt embarrassed in the store because of their behavior, and I got to work through that. But in the moment, I don't want to discipline out of those emotions.
That's so good, Sean. And another thing that stood out to me from what you guys shared on Sunday, it's not in the booklet, but I remember you saying it, is make sure that a consequence is immediate.
Absolutely.
And make sure that it fits the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Crime is my word, not yours. Because sometimes I feel like that was criminal, but it really wasn't all that bad. Mm-hmm. And so I've tended to overreact over little things. And again, it has more to do with how I'm doing than what my child has done.
Right.
And so really, discipline has more to do with us staying in control, being rational, and then quick to correct. And that's all that discipline is. It's a re-correction saying, you've crossed a boundary, you've trespassed. Mm-hmm. This is not appropriate behavior for someone who is, you know, a part of our home. Because we can't control other people's homes, but we can't control ours.
Yeah.
And so that immediate, appropriate consequence makes it hard in the HEB,
it does.
Because how do you do that then? How do you do that in the car?
Because you have some people looking at you like, surely she's going to take care of that, right? I mean, just the judgment, like, I can't believe she's letting her kids act like that. So then you have a moment of, it does push a button for you. I'm like, I'm not a good enough mom. I can't believe my kids. It's a reflection of me, all the things. And so I think it's the pause. I grew up in a home where my daddy didn't pause. And it affected how I started parenting. And so, it's hard. I remember when Cade was 4, we were at the mall. Taylor was in school. She would have been in first grade. And he asked if he could buy her, she loved basketball, these pair of basketball earrings. And I was like, no, not today. Excuse me. So we get to the car and the basketball earrings are in the car with us. And I know I didn't purchase them. And so I remember trying to have that moment of, okay, I'm embarrassed. My kid just stole. So what I ended up doing.
You raised a thief is what you did.
I raised a thief. That's
right.
It's your fault. So I had him walk in.
That is criminal.
That is criminal,
by the way.
Did you call the cops?
I should have. That would have been really good. Like shock theory. So I walked in and had him give it to the lady. And of course, her first thing was, well, are you going to spank him? I mean, I'm just sitting there going, this is my child and someone's expressing that for me. Mm. And I just said, I think he learned his lesson, having to come back in, being shamed. I didn't mean to shame him, but I wanted him to apologize and say, I took something from you. So even in that moment where I was trying to do something good, I had someone wanting me to do this punishment that I wasn't really wanting to give that to at the moment. So I think it's taking a pause because the world's going to tell you one thing. And so it's what you said, Sean, make sure you're on the same page with your spouse, with a co-parent, with anybody that you're helping these, you know, raise these kids, because we know it does take a village.
I love that you mentioned that shame, because what you're after is, we're not after shame.
No.
We're after conviction.
Yeah.
We're wanting to convict these little hearts and minds that this is not right.
Right.
That this is not how we act, that there is something else going on. I need a shout out my 6-year-old who last week told me, Dad, I need to tell you something. And I said, what's up, buddy? He said, I hit your car with a golf ball. And at first I'm like, oh, well, don't do that. And then I thought, wait, let me see where. And so I walked out and sure enough, there's a dent. And I had an opportunity there to respond one or two ways. I'll tell you how I wanted to respond. I was pretty angry.
Yeah.
I was pretty upset that this happened. But then I realized he told me.
Yeah.
He confessed before I found the dent, having to go, which I've done before. I've had to do before. So this is not all the time. But he had already felt that conviction.
Absolutely.
And so that's when we know they've learned their lesson.
Well, I think that's why, that's a great example, Jose. Let's use that for a second. That's why all of this works together. That's why the culture of your home is important. That's why the vision for your parenting is important. That's why the values you want to raise your kids toward are important. Because in that moment, in a disciplined moment, we're trying to correct a behavior, but we're also trying to call them up to something bigger. And I think God does that with us all the time. Like he's interested in correcting our sin for sure, but he's very much more interested in calling us up to be the children of God that are his ambassadors that he's created us to be. So in that moment, you have a chance to do both, right? You can speak to the golf ball hitting the car, which is, hey, listen, this isn't who we are. We aren't the kind of people who whack golf balls into cars. But you know who we are? We're a family that's honest. And you are a child who, is genuine with what they're feeling and thinking. And you came and told me. And I just want you to know that Both of those things can coexist. Like, you can't do that again. Don't hit my car with a golf ball. But man, be the kind of guy who owns up to and takes responsibility. That says so much about you, buddy. And I think if our discipline is that, we're going to correct a behavior and call people to a vision we have and values we have and a culture we have as a family, then we're on the right track.
Yeah, I think it's important to say, people say, well, they're just kids. They're just children. We need to give children a, they are smart. They know. And I mean, 6 years old, he's learning there's safety in your home. I'm going to go tell my dad there may be consequences. But man, if we would just allow children, I mean, that's why Jesus said, let the children come to me and have a childlike faith. We need to start at six, equipping these children because they learn. Just seeing Bowen, our three-year-old granddaughter, I mean, you can tell she knows what's right and wrong and putting something behind her back. And already, right? We were born sinful people. And so calling them out, even when they're that young, is incredible. And it's a gift that we have as parents.
Yeah, I'll never forget going through training to be foster parents. And one of the things that I got out of that season, out of that training, it wasn't biblical training. It was just normal, secular, here's how you take care of, but this is a biblical principle, and that is that a child will test you.
Yeah.
Because a child wants that love and correction, and a child wants to be shaped and formed and disciplined. Mm-hmm. And so the child is testing you whether you are going to step up and care or not. And what this training told us is, especially with kids with terrible, terrible, terrible experiences so early on, that tends to be heightened. And so them testing you, one of the kids, him running away, he was testing me. Are you going to chase me?
Are you going to come get me?
Are you going to allow me to just run? So when I found him, that's when he realized, I don't need to run away because I'm safe.
Yeah.
And so that's something that is in us as children. Mm-hmm. And man, it's hard because we have to first look in and say, well, how was that growing up for me? Making sure that we're aware, self-aware of those things so that then we can have room to care and
that's so true. It's one of, Christina was going to mention this study. She didn't in the last session, but I think we should this week because it's one of the most fascinating studies on child development I've heard. They took kids in a kind of school situation, and they were young, under the age of five, and they let them out onto the playground, and the playground did not have a fence. And they put trackers, some kind of tracking system on these kids to see how far from the door that they exited the school building, how far they migrated over the course of the recess period. And they tracked that. Well, then they came back and they built a fence around the playground pretty far out. They built a fence and then they did the same thing, tracked the kids, let them out, tracked how far they went. Seems counterintuitive to me, but the finding was that the kids who had the fence actually went further away from the door.
It's wild.
And it's, again, these are biblical principles at the end of the day. Any good science or psychology just reveals biblical truths and principles. And what it is that when you create that safety, that's what discipline does. That's what standards in your homes do. That's what values that you're all shooting toward do. They create a fence where you know where that boundary is. Those kids that are coming from difficult homes need to know there's a fence somewhere. And if we know where the fence is and we know there's going to be that discipline and that safety net, we're able to walk more fully into who God wants us to be. And our kids are able to experience the blessing of living out wholeheartedly the childhood that they were designed
to live. Well, it says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. So what is your vision for your kids, right? We just talked about, I mean, the world is going to have a vision for your family, and it's not for God. It's not for great core values, right? It's the enemy wants to rob, steal, and destroy our kids. And so having that vision for your kids is very vital.
So on these matters, I'm curious. I'm sure that others are like us. I'm packing us all in a group here where we may have different opinions than our spouses on mm-hmm. some of these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where we'll have a conversation about cultural values, or we'll have a conversation about vision, or we'll have a conversation about discipline, and we may not be on the same page. How would you guys advise parents to have these conversations in a way that allows parents to come together and team up in their parenting?
I find that most often when I get spouses that are, you know, on a different side of a coin on a discipline issue, I try to help them reframe it, because it's usually not that they're on opposite sides. They're just on a continuum in different places. That's why I go back to grace and truth so frequently, because the reality is most of the time we're in conflict over how we're going to discipline in something. It's because one of us believes more grace is needed in that moment, and one of us believes there's more truth. Even on the idea of, well, should we spank or not? It's usually one of them saying, well, you know, the grace side of, you know, it's like, let's not be too hard on them. And then the other one is like, well, the truth is they need this, you know, consequence quickly. And so just trying to reframe it as, I don't know that y'all are on opposite sides of something here, and somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. I think you're on a continuum, and you both want what's best for your child. And so let's talk about, in this case, what would be the best possible outcome for our child and shaping them toward the vision and the goals we have for them in their life. And let it start there. And then the next thing, you know, when you're working through anything with your spouse is, hey, help me understand why you feel the way
you
do.
There you go. That's
one,
good.
One
well, let me finish
okay,
this. So and it's like, help me understand. Yep. So and if Christina says, well, I really don't feel like spanking's a good idea because I don't want them to feel traumatized yeah. by that. Yeah. All right. Well, I agree with you. The last thing I want is for our kid yeah. to feel traumatized. And so that makes a lot of sense. I wonder if there's a way, you know, to spank them and that's not traumatizing, but at least gets the point across. And then she would say to me, well, help me understand why you do want to do that. And I was like, well, I feel like we've tried everything else mm-hmm. and I don't feel like we're changing his behavior. So that idea of just pausing long enough to say, help me understand why you're feeling what you're feeling or thinking what you're feeling around discipline, get that back. Both of you get a chance to take turns there. And then after that, you come out of it and you're like, okay, well, let's talk about this. So if that's what you're thinking and feeling, you don't want trauma to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling like we need something to happen, you know, that gets his attention. Now that we both know where we stand on this, I mean, is spanking still an option, or what's something else that we could do that neither one of us have thought of? Let's mm-hmm. brainstorm that and pray about that. So being on the same page is a big deal. And I will tell you this, sometimes being on the same page means, you know what, we understand each other now, and we're going to do exactly what she thought from the very beginning. Mm. But at least I understand now where yeah. we're coming from, and she understands my concern around it, and she's going to discipline, you know, or she's going to make sure that she takes into account what I'm concerned with.
Or maybe we just say, can we try this for 60 days and then see how the behavior's modified? And if it's not, then we, right, it's this compromise and this complementing each other. I was thinking of an illustration when we left Branson, Missouri, moved to Rome, Georgia, and we had put Taylor, who started first grade, we put her in public schools, and Sean opened the newspaper and it said, Georgia SAT scores 49th in the country, right? And he was like, what this education system? And we both grew up in public schools, and so we were like, public school. And so anyway, Taylor for the first month did not want to go to school. Hmm. Every morning was this fight. And so Sean was like, that's it, we're homeschooling. And I just remember looking like deer in headlights. And I said, I'm not equipped. I'm not ready. This isn't a calling on me. And he said,
well, again, just to my point, you didn't say that initially. You just said no. And
right.
It wasn't
right,
until I
right.
paused and said, well, hey, help me understand why you
yeah,
don't want to homeschool.
That's a good point.
And then you
true.
Said, I don't feel equipped. And then you said, help me understand why you don't want her in public. I'm like, well, I just don't know. The influences here don't feel like she's not feeling safe. She's
right.
not wanting to go. And so we understood each other. And then from there, so sorry, but continue.
Yeah. And once again, let's say she didn't want to go for a semester. We're not going to say she didn't yeah. want to go for 2 days. Don't pull your kids out when they don't want to go to school for 2 days. Hear me say that. But what we ended up doing was at the end of that semester, you actually said, hey, there's a private school close to our home that feels very much like it would really be great for Taylor. And even then I said, help me understand why we're going to pull her from something that we know it's, you know, she's not hurt, but she doesn't feel safe. And so having that conversation, which is what we ended up doing, having a private school experience for 8 years, which was incredible. So it was something that I wasn't on board with, something that I needed to have help me understand your point. And so I think that was a really good illustration for us in our marriage that we didn't agree, but we ended up coming to a compromise.
Yeah. I'm laughing because parenting is such a refiner of our marriage.
Absolutely.
I mean, the opportunities that it allows, and to this point, this illustration, how many more are those? Mm-hmm. How often does that happen where we stay on a surface level about something, but yet there's an ocean, there's an iceberg below that's waiting to be explored. And when we enter into those, it actually sharpens our love for one another, our understanding of one another, and makes us better as husband and wife, and makes us more effective parents as well.
So true. Absolutely. This is absolutely not a case where it's because I said so. I'm the man of the house, so I'm gonna make the final decision on how we discipline, or I'm the mom, I'm with them the majority of the time, so I'm going to decide how we're going to discipline. This is really, that helped me understand in the refining process you talked about. We talked the first week about sanctification. This is all part of us as adults becoming more who God made us to be and closer to Jesus. And so understanding, loving our spouse and coming up with solutions that are best for our kids that we both feel good about is critical. It's necessary. It's difficult, and it's worth it.
Well, I also think this, if you go over the core values and you come up with three or four for your family, then the core values become a filter for your decisions.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, right?
Yep.
So us deciding, I mean, as a Stover tribe, we are generosity, fun, faith, and hospitality are four of our top ones. So we know to be generous, we have to be on a budget. I don't always love that, right? But that's what we have to do, and our kids have known that. Hospitality, we're going to invite people at our table. We're possibly going to invite people to live with us. That may be uncomfortable. So I think the core values become how you filter some decisions. So Christina's not the bad guy when I say whatever. It's like, no, as a family, we have agreed that these are our core values, and our kids know it and say it and let them become part of that process.
That's really good. I got one more question before we close this out, and that is on the five golden rules of discipline. Fantastic. I'm going to read them quickly. One, stand firm, so that's sticking to the rules and consequences. Second is pick your battles. Give small things attention. Small attention, again, I see things as a crime. That's not good. Pick your battles. Here's where I want to ask, praise a lot, punish it a little. Let me read the last two. Set clear rules and expectations and address the behavior, preserve the relationship. On praise a lot, punish a little. How important is it to give positive affirmation? And what does that do to a child's soul? How you know, again, I think about, hey, you didn't do what I've asked you to do. Think about my daughter whose soccer team I coach, and I'm sitting at her bedside couple weeks ago, and I tell her, hey, by the way, that was a really great, you know, left-footed goal. And she said, finally, you know, a compliment. And I'm like, hold on. I affirm you a lot. But she didn't hear that, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter what we say or how often we say it.
Yeah.
It's about landing it. So it's so difficult.
It is difficult, and it is so significant in a child's life to hear. And I think probably one of the reasons she heard that was because it was so specific, left-footed goal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many times do we say, oh, you look great today, or you look pretty today?
Right. Or I love you.
Yeah. And they're just kind of general affirmations, and they're good. I'm not saying don't do them. But man, when you tie it to a behavior that they did, because that's what we do with the negative. That's what we do with punishment. Right. We tie it specifically to a behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You can't hit a golf ball into my car. You know, Christina is an amazing, amazing mom, boy mom. She's just incredible. So she probably would have said something like, hey, how far away were you when you hit that shot into the car? Because that made a huge dent. You must have had a lot of club head speed.
Yeah, I made
on
sure to
thing.
Let him know that that dent was not coming out. I was going to sell the car with that dent.
Christina would have
that
been.
That was my way of saying it was a good
shot. She would have been affirming that. Yeah, for sure. But that ability to get very specific about your affirmations, It is a little gender specific. The research shows that boys need to hear that they have what it takes.
There you go.
And so if you're going to affirm your little boys, and it starts small, 2 years old, 3 years old, I mean, let them know, hey, you have what it takes. If you see them climbing on something, like, dude, that is so brave that you climbed up there. That is awesome. And then you might say, but, you know, let's make sure we have a spotter. You're 17 feet up in the air, whatever the case is. But you have what it takes is what boys need to hear. And the little girls need to hear that they are worth fighting for. They need to know that they're worth protecting. And so there's 1,000 ways to affirm and 100 behaviors in a day your kids will do that you could affirm and encourage. But man, shoot specifically at some of those things. Let your little girls know how valuable they are and how worthy of protection. And let your little boys know they have what it takes.
Yeah, man, this is such a really great chance for us to speak life. I think the verse, y'all help me, according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who hear it.
Ephesians 4:29.
Right. Yeah. So let no unwholesome talk. Mm-hmm. So, man, it's like according to their needs, right? So was it Ayla who said it or?
Micah.
So yeah. According to her need.
Right.
Right. And it's just
every kid's different.
Right. Every kid is different. So that was really amazing that according to whatever her need is, right? My need is to feel connected to Sean and my kids. And so whenever that is when you affirm me in that way, I feel very connected to you. And so I think it's just learning what it is. And I go back to the soccer game, to a 3-year-old soccer game for Bowen on Saturday. And
no left-footed goals.
No left-footed goals. We were
give
just
her a year.
This is what I heard Austin say to her, was so proud that you stayed on the field.
Oh, yeah.
And at the moment, you're like, what? But then you look, because she was that one of two kids that was still left on the field. Granted, there are three. But I want to say that it's according to her needs. She's going to hear that, right? And she's three. She's like, oh, thank you, whatever. But it's still in her heart, and she heard that from her dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't. You could see it on her face that she heard it from her dad. So yeah.
This is so good, y'all. I think about a proverb that we talked about earlier. Discipline your child, and he will give you rest. He will give you delight to your heart. So here you have your granddaughter, you know, bringing you delight because
that's
of the way that you disciplined your daughter.
Right.
Same thing with Cade. You know, we called him out earlier, but I got to see him grow up in high school, and he was yes, sir, no, sir, all throughout, even when I told him, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Call me Jose or call me bro. And that's just not the way that he was raised. So I hope that you guys feel that delight in your children.
Do. We
absolutely
do. Right,
and,
for sure. Thank you for saying that.
And we hope that this is useful for all of you listening, because that's the ultimate goal, is for us to raise kids that bring delight not only to us, but to the Lord. So I can't wait to finish out session 3 next week. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.